judicial system. Part 3. Judgment needed and judgment needed. When you have a group of people coming together, you will find that there will be a need to help them to be oriented into an organized entity. And God is doing that Himself in setting up the society of Israel, in setting up the nation of Israel. And it will be a model that we can learn from how a system can be set up that would be according to God's way, according to God's heart. And you see them coming out of the Exodus, a mess, a group of people who are slaves, very disorganized. And you will also see how there are many disputes that came up in the day-to-day living amongst God's people, and how there was a need to appoint men and women, or men, especially in this case of the judges, to oversee and look towards making a system that allows a judicial system, a system of law that will bring order to that society. From chapter 19 onwards, for five chapters, you would see all the laws that are given, and also how the laws are to be implemented, how the laws are to be administered. But here, you see in this section, the credential to choose the men who will uphold and see to the day-to-day function of the judicial system in Israel. What kind of men would God want to be over this work? Verse 20 of our text is a word of, is a word to Moses. Verse 20 says, "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." Moses was to focus on the imparting of God's word to men who will be able to teach others also, to commit to faithful men. And the Apostle Paul spent many valuable years to disciple Timothy. Timothy was with him from the second missionary journey, where many of the churches were founded in Asia Minor, in Europe, and how that work would continue after the time of the Apostle Paul. And you find Paul himself having to teach, then after that to observe the men, then at the same time see how it is, how a next generation is nurtured to be at the helm of the nation. Matthew Henry said insightfully, he says, he advised him to such a model of government as would better answer the intention, which was that he should reserve to himself all applications to God. You know, we don't do our own things, and we should not be. Time should be spent in prayer, in the study of God's word, so that we may know what is the will of God and do the will of God in each generation. And here is given to us the spiritual criteria for judges and magistrates in Israel who will help Moses in meeting judgment. And the criteria is that this must be able men. Men of power. Doesn't mean that what it means is that they are men who is able to bear labor. Men with a strength of heart. Men who is able to serve, take hardship. Men with a strength of heart. In order to be a judge, the judge has to be able to withstand and do the will of God. And that takes men with filled with the Spirit of God and with courage and not afraid to do what God would say in His Word. And so here is given three criteria in our text. And thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. So the first criteria that was given to the selection of these magistrates or judges is that they must be men who fear God. Men who would not take things into their own hands. Who has a reverential awe toward God, and that results in a holy desire to obey and follow Him and to depart from evil. The fear of God means godly piety. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This year we are making a focus on the study of the book of Proverbs, and we have begun a devotion and on the book of Proverbs. And our Sunday messages will be also focused on the book of Proverbs. Why so? Because we need God's wisdom for everyday life, and unless we learn to do the things that God wants us to do, our life will be wasted. The things we do will be wasted energy. So here, the criteria, the first criteria that is given is men who would fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of God, that is the first criteria. A man will not do his own things, will not use his own wisdom, but will choose to follow God and His ways, and God and His system. And you see here that the words used are knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Knowledge speaks of the facts. And Wisdom speaks of the application of this knowledge. Dennis Gibson said in our devotion, the most intelligent thing that we can do is to fear God. Fear suggests something negative, but this fear is always positive. We do things that displease God, and fear is the proper attitude. Always to be on good terms with God. So, what does it mean to fear God? Well, it suggests a teachable heart, I believe, to imbibe the ways of God as a way of life. It suggests also a humility of heart, willing to let God's word and the prompting of the Holy Spirit hold sway to guide our way. It suggests here a man of faith, willing to take God and His word, to trust and to obey. And you'll find this is something very rare, because men would want to choose, do their own things. And you would look at Israel, who was in the wilderness. There were many instances where there was trouble in the camp. Why was it like that? Because it was a time when men decided that they know better than what God had stipulated. And it's a very, very dangerous notion, very, very dangerous thing that God, in all His wisdom, said to us that we need to cultivate that fear of God. God-fearing is contrasted with the depraved and degenerate man. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans 3, verse 18 says, no fear. No fear of authority. Themselves an authority. Very scary. Very scary. Why would anyone who know about God or knows God choose to walk their own way? This fear of God is not a spirit of cowardice. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So we see here a contrast. The God-fearer is one who is on good terms with his Lord, keep close to his God. He is one who will not fear the faces of men in meeting out true judgment. One who cannot be bribed. One who would rather choose to do the will of God and be willing to suffer loss, whatever the cost. And here, the Lord wants us to think and realize how important is this criteria. Fear God. King Saul, his mistake was that he feared the people. He feared the people, 1 Samuel 15:24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. The God-fearer is not worldly wise. He will not use his own wisdom. He will not use the world's wisdom. He will not bring the world into the church. And that we have to be aware and be careful. are not careful, it rises up, and it will have great impact upon the lives of people. We have to be really wary. God wants us to have this fear of God in our hearts. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, Moses told the people of Israel before they entered the promised land, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. You remember when they were supposed to take Jericho, the instruction was given that they would have to march around Jericho 6 days, one round each day, and the seventh day, seventh round. Now, Jericho was a fortified city, and you know, the enemy was very surprised how they did not, you know, come with their ladders, come with any wise strategy. But you see that every one of them followed Joshua's instruction. They were quiet and they walked around the city. How important it is that there is that unity of purpose. If one would run off on his own and say, this is what we will do, and worse still, not only run off, but gather a group to run together. Could they have taken Jericho? Cannot. How serious it is. And the Lord wants us to be able to understand. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Israel had the victory because God gave to Joshua the blueprint. The captain of the Lord's army, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, came to Joshua to show him the strategy, how to fight. There is a strength of heart to trust and obey only his voice. How important that is. Casting all your care, your worries and your fears upon him. For he careth for you. The fear of God causes us to live holy lives. We understand that God judges men after their sins. And the fear of God thus teaches us to live circumspectly. If there is no order, then there is no unity and there won't be any progress. And we are culpable in the final analysis. And so the Lord tells us how important it is. Therefore, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now this statement was given by the Apostle Paul. Because there were those who do not want to participate together. And he says, don't run after them. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You'll be wounded if you run after them. Because there's no fear of God in their hearts. They cannot be talked to. That's why they behave in this way. And it's scary. God doesn't want us to go that way. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So we always say, if you have nothing good, don't say. No, don't. We need to hold our tongue. We need to be very cautious. Why? Because it causes harm. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Seek God's favor. Seek God's will. For our God is a consuming fire. You know that? No. God judges us, and the motivation to fear Him is the holiness of God. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. The fear of God is necessary for good government. This man must be man who fear God above all. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel speak to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. The fear of God is necessary for the administration of justice. Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for men, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. So, for these magistrates, these judges, they are not doing their own things. They are doing the things of the Lord. They are bearing the burden together with Moses. Not their own things. Because God is using the nation of Israel as a model to all the world. If we do our own things, then you find that we will not be able to do what God would want us to do. Second Chronicles 19, verses 6 to 9 says, and the message to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for men, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites, and the priests, and the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord, and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thou shalt do in the fear of the Lord faithfully with a perfect heart. Now, here is the beginning of the system. And the Lord stipulates for us what needs to be done. And we need to go back to the basics. Solomon concluded how important this character of fearing God is. When we fear God, then we would know how to respond in a godly way. Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of the whole of men. The word duty is place in the italics in the Bible. The word is not there, but the word is added in order to give us the sense of it. It means the whole of man is to fear God. So Solomon says that's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of wisdom. Right? You have to know God's way, and then you have to choose to obey. So there are two steps. The knowledge and the wisdom. You have to know. So we have to take time to learn. Take time to study. Take time to imbibe. Let the Spirit of God fill us and let it reprove, correct, and guide us in the way of righteousness. So we need to realize that we are not there yet. And God wants us to have that kind of understanding and attitude so that we would be able to grow. So first thing, men would fear God. Second thing, men of truth, men of integrity and honesty. Whose word one may take, whose fidelity one may rely upon, who would not for a world tell a lie, betray a trust, or act an insidious part. Matthew Henry put it very well. Another godly commentator, Jill, he says, true men, sincere, upright, and faithful men that love truth and hate lies and falsehood, and will take some pains to get at the truth of a cause, to inquire where it lies, and pursue and encourage it where it is found, and discourage to the uttermost falsehood, lies, and perjury. How important it is that this man who in place as magistrates and judges over the people of God must be men of truth, men of integrity and honesty, men who is not afraid, hating covetousness. Third criteria, hating covetousness, filthy lucre, dishonest gain, not to be bribed, not to be corrupted, not to execute wrong judgment for filthy lucre's sake. Because gifts and bribes are the great corruptors of judges and judgments. The unjust gain. How important it is that we see men would be men of integrity, men who would choose to obey God rather than men. That's why God had to prepare the man Moses. How did he prepare him? Well, Moses had to forsake all the treasures of Egypt. Right? He could be a very, very very prosperous man in Egypt, right? Living together with the Pharaoh, with all these things. But God had to take away all these things. Men who would not be bribed by the material things. So here is given to us is such men. And they will be appointed to judge among thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Well, this is what God had done. And the word of God is such, right, that Moses did not leave the election of the magistrates to the people, who had already done enough to prove themselves unfit for such a trust. But he chose them and appointed them for some some for greater, others for less division, the less probably subordinate to the greater. Matthew Henry. And then Jethro left. We need to promptly and rightly meet out true justice, that there will be justice and peace in Israel. Thank God for providing us this lesson that showed us what needs to be done, what God would want us to do. May His mercy be with us, to help us, to guide us, for His own name's sake. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for granting to us Thy wisdom to do Thy will. Father, we thank Thee. Help us, Lord, to be men and women after Thy own heart, after Thy will. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.